for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2005 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday afternoon, December the 27th, Ladies 115 Deliverance Meeting. Jane Hunt is the speaker.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your manifold blessings to us, your children. We pray, Lord, that as we study your word today, that you will impart wisdom, knowledge, that you will impart understanding to us, Lord. And Father, that we pray that your will would be done in this message, that the words would be spoken, would come forth with clarity, and that they would be received, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you, and we know that without you we can do nothing. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I want to give this thing a title, and I usually try to give it a title, this is the Lord always gives me such funny titles for what I'm going to speak about. And this one is Keeping Up with the Joneses. Keeping Up with the Joneses. It's going to be dealing with a spirit that's been around for probably one of the longest of all spirits that's been around in existence. And that is the spirit of jealousy. The spirit of jealousy. There's two kinds of jealousy that we want to look at today. We want to look at God's jealousy, and then we want to look at man's jealousy. And Frank Marzullo says that jealousy is a spirit that's related to self-idolatry, because only God has the right to be jealous. It could bring with itself other spirits such as anger, temper, rage, violence, murder, and threatening. And you think about that. That really entails a lot. We know that Satan was, or Lucifer was, the anointed cherub in heaven, and we know that he became jealous. And we know that he was kicked out of heaven because he was jealous of God and wanted to usurp his authority over God's authority. Then we see it very evident in the Garden of Eden with Cain and Abel, of how that Cain killed Abel because of jealousy. But I don't want to talk about man's jealousy first. I want to talk about God's jealousy. And let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. This is when they were given the law, and Moses had the Ten Commandments given to him. And this tells us, beginning in verse 1 of Exodus 20, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God that have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." So we see that God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us giving our sharing our devotion to him with any other thing other than him alone. And then let's look at Exodus 34. Now, a lot has happened in this time because Moses has gotten the law from God and he's come back down, and while he was gone, evidently something happened with the children of Israel, because they began to break off all their gold earrings, and they gave them to Aaron, and Aaron made a molten calf, and they were worshiping that calf right along with worshiping God. How many times do we have golden calves in our lives that we are worshiping something or sharing our devotion to God? Now, Moses had a fit of anger, and he threw down the first tablets that he had, and he broke them. And you know, all of these things happen to me to show me the frailty of humanity and what that we can be capable of doing. And any of us could have the capacity to do these things within us, to get angry. We have the capacity within us to put other things before God. We have the capacity to make idols out of our children, to make idols out of our homes, out of our jobs, out of our family, out of anything that stands between us and God. And God, He, in his mercy, he looked down again and he gave Moses the law again. And Moses, you know, had made intercession for the people, and God had repented that he had said he was going to destroy them and let them die in the wilderness. But, I mean, they did go ahead and die in the wilderness. But he made a covenant with his people. And then in verse 14, now this is something that I had not picked up on before. And it said of chapter 34, verse 14 of Exodus, "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous." Had you ever picked up on the idea that one of God's names is jealous? Now, how many times do we look at someone and we say, "Oh, you're just jealous," or "I'm jealous"? You know what you're doing? You're putting yourself in the position of God when you say that, "I'm jealous," because he says, "My name is jealous." So, to me, that was a lesson to me. You know, you be careful when you say you're jealous of somebody or you're jealous of something you tell someone else, "Well, you're just jealous." You're putting that person in the position of God, and that person is not God. So, that was something that had really struck home with me when I began to study this. Sometimes our commitment to God is so half-hearted till... It's no wonder that he had to say his name was jealous to draw us to himself. And he is the focus of the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It says, "In the beginning, God. There's no other before him, no other after him." Many people do mighty works for God, but they forget that their focus should be on him and on him alone. And many times people will burn out doing the works of God. They seek the things of God. They seek the God of things rather than the things of God. Many ministries are going to fail. Churches are exposed. Sin is exposed. Churches close their doors because God is not the focus. Become centered on man instead of being God-centered. And Jesus said this was going to happen because in Matthew 7:22, he said, "There's in the last days they're going to say, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your names? Didn't we even do deliverance? Or didn't we cast out demons in your name? And haven't we done many wondrous works in your name?'" And what's his reply? "Depart, I never knew you." I'm not saying that these things are bad, but sometimes we get so caught up in doing other things, and all God wants is just us to zero in on him and to give our devotion and our attention, our undivided attention to him. That's why we need a quiet time so much of the time. Every day we need a quiet time where we can just zero in on God, not asking him for a bunch of things, not telling him a bunch of stuff. You know, it's amazing how much stuff we have to tell God when he knows it all to start with. But we find ourselves telling God all these things. Now, you know God. Sure, he knows. We don't have to tell him what he knows. But we need to zero in on who he is, on his awesomeness. You know, I think in the worship this morning that we were... In the threshold, we were there in the presence of God because, I don't know, I kind of got lost this morning. I don't know where you guys were, but I kind of got lost in it all. But it seems like that all I wanted to do was just call out to the name of Jesus, to zero in on who Jesus is, who he is, what he does, who he is, rather than asking him or thanking him for a bunch of things. But, you know, many times our worship is like a drive-in bank. You think of all the drive-in things we have. You go drive-in bank because you're too busy to go inside. You don't want to get out. You're too lazy to get out and walk in the bank. You go to a drive-in restaurant. We'll go through McDonald's and we'll get a cup of coffee because you're too lazy to get out and go inside. We go to drive-in pharmacies. Now, I don't go to the drive-in liquor stores, but they do have those also. And also the tobacco companies have their little drive-throughs that you can go through if you're interested in those things. But the thing is, we treat God like that so many times. Like we drive in and just get a little blessing from God, or we drive in, make an appearance. We come to camp meeting. We could have stayed all week. But, you know, I need to go to camp meeting because they're going to wonder where I was at if I wasn't there, if I don't show up. I'm going to this meeting because I need to make an appearance. And I've actually had people tell me, "Well, I need to put in an appearance." And I'm sure you've had that said to you too. But we are always in a hurry. I never will forget one time the Lord spoke to me and said, "Hurry, hurry, hurry. But where are you going and what are you doing?" And, you know, it's time that we as his children slow down enough to take time to worship Him for who He is, because His name is Jealous. And He is a jealous God. He is jealous for our affections.
Yes,
He wants our love. He wants our attention. He wants to be the center of our lives. It says to seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, I've heard the old-timers talk about how that they spent all day washing clothes on a rub board, and they would do all the mopping, and they would do all the sweeping, cleaning, and ironing, and everything they had to do, and cook on wood cook stoves. I'm glad we don't have to do that. But you know, those old-time ladies had a commitment and a relationship with God many times that many of us with our modern conveniences don't have. I wonder how much time we squander, how much time we waste just doing piddling things. Just something busyness, busy work. You know, I'm a school teacher and tried to retire, and I haven't made it yet. How many times that is that we would give busy work to kids to keep them busy while we were focusing on something else? How much of our time is spent with busyness, things that are not important, things that 5 years from now or even next week are not going to make a bit of difference in the world? Sometimes we miss God's best for us because our attention is centered on other things. It may be centered on our jobs. It may be centered on our church, our families, our sports, other recreation. Now, in Roger's Thesaurus, he defines this jealousy as distrust, mistrust, apprehension, heartburn. Have you ever thought, well, maybe the reason that you have acid reflux, there's jealousy in you? I mean, I've never thought of that. Envy, grudging, resentment, doubt, suspicion. And I love this one, green-eyed monster. Can you imagine finding that in a thesaurus? Green-eyed monster. Yellow jaundiced eyes. The injured lover's hell. Solicitude, among other things. Concern, anxiety. These are all synonyms of jealousy. Green-eyed monster. Green-eyed monster. Think about it. The word jealousy comes from zelos, which means zeal or envy. And I would like to turn to Galatians 5:19, and I'd like to read that from the Amplified. All of you probably know what this is going to be, the works of the flesh. And it says about these things, the people that do these things, that they're in for a problem. They shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I want to be an inheritor. I don't want these things in my life. So now the doings or the practices of the flesh are clear, that they're obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions and dissensions, a party spirit, fractions, sex with peculiar opinions and heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So we see jealousy is something that rarely stands by itself. Jealousy will lead you to do other things. Jealous people commit all kinds of sins. They are suspicious. They are suspicious of everybody and everything because of the jealousy that's in them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 3 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, or jealousy, and strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Jealousy is a sign that we are walking in the flesh. It's a fruit of the flesh. It's one that we have to fight to conquer. It's one that will pop itself up every time it gets an opportunity. And I was thinking about this, it kind of gave me an illustration of a fault. And Gail and I had mentioned this last night. We were talking about faults, and I thought, yeah, she's getting on my teaching today. But, in Arkansas, we have what's called the New Madrid fault, and the San Andreas fault is in California. Now, this is a weak place or a crack in the crust of the earth. And when that shifts, then an earthquake occurs. Now, we as carnal human beings, we have a crack in us. We do. Because then the devil knows where that crack is. And he comes to us. And if he can get that crack opened up enough that he can get in to that place, if he can bring jealousy in us, envy, strife, if he can bring those things in us, then there's a disaster that occurs within us. And that crack is there. These thoughts are there. There's nothing we can do about those thoughts. That crack is there. And then we have to go in and do all the cleanup and everything. But, you know, thank God for deliverance. Thank God that we can be delivered from a spirit of jealousy. That doesn't mean that next week you may not have to be delivered again from another form of jealousy, because the devil is not going to give up easily. And I mean, you think about that, jealousy is his number one tool, because it was because of his jealousy that he was kicked out of heaven. It's his number one tool. Jealousy should not have any place among God's people, but it does. And when it does, what do we do with it many times? I'll just hide my little jealousy. I'm not going to let them know I'm jealous. Well, I have a right to be jealous. I have a right to be envious. Do you? Did we give up our rights when we became Christians? Were we supposed to give up our rights when we became believers? Our will is to do His will. So then we gave up so many of our rights. James 3:14, let's look at that scripture just a minute. It's going to tell us where jealousy originates. I think I got James in this Bible. I don't think anybody tore it up. Cheryl and I traded Bibles, and I'm still not used to this one. Oh, yes, it's on page 1013, in case anybody wants to look. It says that, but who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Oh, all right. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So envy is jealousy, and where jealousy is, then every evil work can come forth out of us. And it is a very evil thing. It can destroy a person physically as well as spiritually. And you know, I'm getting more and more convinced all the time that whatever happens to us in the physical realm affects the spiritual realm. And what happens to us in the spiritual realm affects what happens to us in the physical realm. Yes. That they are very closely tied together. And when you stop and think about that, if I'm envious or if I'm jealous of someone or some person or their position, then it's very easy for me to be jealous of someone in my church. It's very easy for me to be jealous of someone at my work. Jealousy is a subtle thief. None of us intend to be jealous. Because, I mean, you know, it says enough in Scripture that God's name is jealous, and we sure don't want to assume God's position or God's role. It leads to division in the churches. I would dare say that 95 to 98% of all the problems in church splits come because of jealousy, because of envy, of wanting to take authority over someone else. It leads to discord among the brethren. It will destroy a church as well as the people that are there. James chapter 4 goes on, and he's not finished talking about this yet. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have. You cannot obtain. You fight and war, and yet you have not, because you don't ask. It leads to lots of contention. It leads to lots of fighting. When you stop and think about what jealousy does. It says you ask and receive amiss, because you ask amiss that you may be consumed upon your own lust. So, besides being spiritually affecting our spiritual walk, it will cause us not only to harm ourselves physically, but many times it causes people to harm others physically. How many murders have been committed because of jealousy? In cases of divorce, the offended party wants to get a gun and go shoot the other party. We see that happen time and time and time again because of the jealousy. Let's look at some scripture back in Genesis, back to chapter 3, the story of Cain and Abel. Now, Adam and Eve had walked with God. They had sinned, and God had forgiven them, but He'd cast them out of the garden. But yet, this is a prime example. I couldn't help but wonder if maybe there was some jealousy. I know there was some jealousy between Satan and Adam and Eve because God had placed them in the garden, and it was a beautiful garden and a place where His presence was. But then here He came in and brought this into them. He brought this jealousy because He was jealous. He brought that spirit in with Him. Now, we don't have any evidence that Adam and Eve were jealous of one another, that they were jealous of God. But you know what? This is a generational thing. Look where it cropped up. It cropped up with Cain and Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "But unto Cain and his offering," he, talking about God, the Lord, "had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Why was he jealous? Because his brother's offering was acceptable and his was not. What about the jealousy that goes on between siblings? Sibling rivalry, we call it so many times. What about that jealousy? Now, at my house, I have three little miniature dachshunds. I have Lucy, Linus, and Charlie Brown. And when I go out and sit on the back porch or the back deck, well, those dogs come up and they want to get where I'm at. And they'll do anything that they can to be right next to me. They're very jealous of one another. They want my attention. And so, you know, I've got to pet all three of them and be sure I take care of all three of them, treat all three of them as much alike as I possibly can, so that they won't be jealous of one another, so that all of them get their share of attention. And this happens so many times in a family. How many times have you seen little children want to sit next to Grandma? Well, I'm going to sit next to Grandma. It's my turn to sit next to Grandma. Well, you sat on Grandma's lap yesterday. Can I sit on Grandma's lap today? Mom, it's my turn to sit on Grandma's lap. What is this? Is it a form of jealousy? I mean, is it going on over into our children and we don't even realize what's happening? When you think about it, in the classroom, you know, the kids all want to sit next to teacher if they're little kids. Now, big kids want as far away from teachers as they can get. But you take little kindergarten kids and first graders, they want to get right up next to teacher, and they always want to come up to teacher's desk. And then the first thing you know, they'll be, if you're reading a story and they're on the carpet, next thing you know, they're getting closer and closer and closer, and they're looking at each other, and, you know, getting up closer to where you are. There is a jealousy thing there. It's very subtle. It comes in. Then back over in verse 6, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why are you angry? Why are you wroth? And why is your countenance fallen? Why are you down in the mouth? What's your buzz?" is what he's saying. And he says, "If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, and sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And Cain went out and talked with his brother. Talked it over. "Well, my sacrifice was just as good as yours. God's just too strict with me. I'm not going to give that kind of sacrifice." This thing just kept eating at him, eating at him. "My brother's sacrifice was acceptable. Mine was not. His sacrifice was acceptable." What did he do? He killed his brother. Killed his brother, so it caused him. He was envious of his brother because his sacrifice was acceptable. Then he got to the point of anger. Another prime example is in the story of David and Saul. We find that in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Now, Saul had been anointed king, and Saul sinned, and he was denied from being king, and David was made king. But Saul wanted David to come in and play his harp for him and soothe him with the playing, and he did that for a long time. But Saul became very envious, and his envy and his jealousy finally destroyed the man totally. 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, "And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth." And I'm not wondering, but every time we see this word, "very wroth," if we could not just substitute the word "jealous." Jealous. And Saul was very jealous. "And the saying displeased him, and he said, They have ascribed unto David saying, he has 10,000 vended to me, they've only ascribed but thousands. Oh, this sounds like jealousy to me. But what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And then he made attempt after attempt after attempt to kill David. Envy and hatred. Chapter 18 tells of one attempt. Chapter 19, chapter 20 and 23, if you read on these ensuing chapters, you will find of where that his envy and his jealousy of David caused him to try to murder him. Back over in Genesis chapter 37, another prime example. And you know, I'm glad that God has put these examples in the Word, because it lets us know that this is a problem. That it's not just something that began with us or something that ended with us, but it's been an ongoing problem for many ages. Genesis chapter 37 talks about Joseph and his brothers. Now, Joseph is a little bit arrogant, I will admit that. He was. He kind of liked to strut and show himself off to his brothers. And he told them that their sheaves were going to bow down to him, and he was going to be the ruler over them. Now, he was kind of a smart-alecky little brother. I would be the first to admit that. But it was all in part of God's plan. Which brings me to this thought. How many times do we provoke jealousy in someone else? Well, I got a new car last week. See all these fine features it has? Don't you wish you had one like it? What are you doing? Are we provoking jealousy? We could be provokers of some of the jealousy that goes on. Genesis 37 verse 4 says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto them." How many times have you seen this in families where that one child is singled out and favored above all the others? Maybe you feel like you were the child that were left out, that was left out. I know that I have a brother that's 3 years older than I am, and I have another brother that's 14 years younger than I am. And my husband always says my mother and I were too much alike. That's why that we always seem to have contention among us. But, you know, even from a little bitty girl, and I'm not telling this, I'm telling this for the glory of God, because God has done a lot in my life in this area, that I always felt that my mother loved my brother more than she ever did me. And I was probably 55 years old before I can ever recall my mother ever telling me that she loved me. And then when the younger brother came along, then he took the place of both of us. And she lavished all kinds of attention, and even on his children and things, that he seemed to be the favorite son. But you know what? I'm the favorite of my father. Of this father up here. And that's all that matters. And you know, even before my mother passed away, she would look at me and she would say, "I don't know how you can be so good to me after the way I've treated you. I don't know how you can do everything you do for me like you do after the way that I've treated you all these years." And you know, all I can do is just say, "Thank you, Lord." Because it took God to do that. I couldn't have done that, because I would have been very vengeful. I would have said, "Well, just let her lay old in the nursing home and die. It serves her right." But I could not do that, because God had done a work in my life. And he will do a work in your life. So if there's areas there that are hurting, we can get rid of those in a few minutes. But his brethren could not even speak peacefully to him. They didn't have a kind word to say to him at all. Now, he didn't have to go to counseling. He didn't get to see a psychologist or psychiatrist. He just went on with his own arrogance. He was an arrogant guy. And I'm sure that all the time he spent in Egypt in prison, that part of his arrogance he got rid of. God did a work in him. But in the end, God brought the restoration of the family. He brought that whole family together in a beautiful way at the very end. And it says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in a field, and to my sheave rose up and stood above upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheave." Or in other words, they bowed down to him. Now, if that had been your younger brother, how would you have felt? What would you have done? Let's see what happens in verse 11. "And his brothers envied him." So here we have envy coming in again, or jealousy beginning to come in. Verses 4 and 5, what did it tell us? What was the attitude of the brothers toward him? What did they do? They what? in verse 4 and 5. What did they do? They hated him, didn't they? They hated him. In verse 4, how did they speak to him? They couldn't speak peacefully. They spoke ill will of him all the time. Then in verse 18, we find that, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. So here we see the conspiracy. The conspiracy to kill him. Did they actually kill him? No. What did they do? They kidnapped him in verse 26 and put him down in a well. And Judas said unto his brethren, well, what profit is it if we slay our brother and we conceal his blood? Now he said, come, let us sell him to that group of Ishmaelites that's coming, the merchantmen. And they drew up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt, a type of the redemption of Jesus Christ that was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph was the redeemer of the children of Israel. Then, not only that, what happened in verse 22 when they got home? They sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and they said, we have found it. We don't know whether it's your son's or not. They didn't even say, we don't know whether it's Joseph's. They didn't even acknowledge him as much as being a brother. This might be your son's. So here they've lied. First they had envy in their hearts. They hated him. They spoke ill of him. They conspired to kill him. They kidnapped him. They sold him. And then they had to lie to cover it up. Matthew 20 gives us another example. I'm not going to read this entire chapter, but this talks about the laborers in the field. It said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man as his householder. And he began to hire laborers for his vineyard. And he hired the laborers for a penny a day. And about the third hour, there were some more people working, standing around, so he hired them for the same amount. And the ninth hour of the day went out, and they hired those for the same amount. And the 11th hour, they hired him for the same amount. Now, so everyone that came in to get paid got paid at the same amount of money. Would this have caused jealousy? What about jealousy in your workplace? You ever get jealous of somebody that got a promotion that you wanted or that you felt you deserved? This is jealousy in the workplace right here, prime example of it. They begin to have envy in their hearts. Verse 10 says that when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Verse 12 said, the last have worked or wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden in the heat of the day. Here we worked all day long, Lord, and you paid them the same amount you paid us. He said, I didn't do anything wrong. You agreed to work for this amount. But they began to murmur and complain to the boss about what was going on. A person can be jealous of just about anything that someone else has that you don't have. Say that again. A person can be jealous of just about anything else that someone else has that you don't have. And this will make you want to start keeping up with the Joneses. It'll make you start wanting to keep up. Sometimes we're jealous of possessions that other people have. Genesis 26:14. For he had possession. This is talking about Abraham. Isaac, talking about Isaac. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great stores of servants, and the Philistines envied him. So we see people being envious of possessions. Another example, you don't have to turn to this one, Psalm 73, verse 3, says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So Luke 15:29 is another example if you want to write the scriptures down. I probably won't read that one. We don't have time to really go into all of that. How many times do you find people that are jealous because a person is gifted in a certain area? I run into this a lot with music, of people that are envious because of the anointing that God has placed in my life to do praise and worship. And a lot of people will come up and if I could just play like you. If I could just do this like you, if I could just lead worship like you do. How many times are we jealous of another's spiritual gift? Oh, I just wish I could prophesy. Oh, I just wish that I could do this, that I could do that. I wish I could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. I wonder if any time we say, I wish, if that could be an indication that jealousy is trying to creep in. especially when it concerns another person. I wish that I had this. I wish that I had this. And then a lot of people say, well, that's not jealousy. Well, maybe you ought to say, I wish I had one just like you, God. How many times have we said that? I'd like to have one just like that. And you know, a lot of fads and things that go on in America today, you guys remember those boas? And I think they're still kind of popular, aren't they? You know, those little long scarves. You got one? Good.
No, feather boas.
They're what?
Feather boas.
Yeah. Yeah. And they put those things on, and the next time you know, well, you see your friend, they've got one. Well, here, someone else has got one. And you look, and that fad just goes all around, and everybody's wearing boas. We're not fashionable in here this afternoon, because none of us have a boa on. But you think about that, and think about how that, because really, we don't mean to be envious, but it's there. It's there. Oh, I'd like to have one just like that. I'd like to have one just like someone else has. In school, how many times do we see young people that are jealous of the popularity of another person? We see that many, many times, especially among girls. Oh, she's one of the popular girls in school. And then sometimes people will start lies and tales and things on a young girl to bring her popularity down. Look at the story of the prodigal son and his younger brother that came back. He stayed there and served all the time. Was he jealous of his brother? Lord, Father, I've served with you all these years, and he's went off and squandered his, and now he comes home and you make a big party for him. You didn't do that for me. How many times are we jealous of another's income or wages that they make? And we as ladies can do the same work that a man does, and we don't get the same amount of pay that a man does doing the same work. That happens many, many times. And that could be a cause of jealousy. Sometimes you may have been friends with someone for a long, long time. And sometimes you move from just an acquaintance to kind of a casual friendship. And now you move to the position that you're very close to another person. Sometimes when this runs its gamut, it seems like that there are murky waters and you're not as close to a person. I know I'm in a relationship like that with a friend right now. And it seems like that you don't know what happened to the relationship. And deep down, it's not an attitude problem. It's not a grudge. It's just kind of an inner turmoil or an inner knowing, something that's uncontrolled in you. And this person and I did a lot of things together, and where we and I would go, and we would go to a lot of places together, and we just enjoyed each other's friendship. And if we go to a craft show or something, and she'd buy something, well, I'd have to buy something just like it. If I'd find something, she'd want one just like it. Where'd you get that? I'd tell her, well, if you see any more of those, get me one. Is that a form of jealousy? I mean, I'm asking myself, is there jealousy in that relationship? Is that what's happened to it? Jealousy is an uncontrollable lust and desire after some possession, what a person is, a privilege or a position. When you think about it, it's so subtle. It's so subtle. Jealousy will steal our lives. It ruins your relationships with others. How many marriages have been totally destroyed beyond repair because of jealousy? What does it do to your joy and your peace? It destroys your joy and your peace. It moves in slowly and subtly, and it takes over just like a thief in the night if we're not careful. You know, a thief, when he comes in, you don't know he's there in the house until he's already come in and done his damage and left. Once in a while, you're able to catch him in the act. But if your jealousy comes into our hearts uninvited, it's unnoticed, comes in as a guest, I don't believe anyone ever starts out with the intention of being jealous. So many times when we see a spirit of jealousy come in us, we have a tendency to blame other people. Put the fault all on them. Well, it's their fault. If they hadn't done so-and-so, then I wouldn't be jealous. Where does jealousy begin? It begins with a misplaced desire. When you desire something outside of God's will for your life, then jealousy can erupt very quickly. When you get out of the center of God's will, jealousy can come in. And let me tell you what, Satan will do his very best to get you out of God's will. And he uses jealousy. That's his thing. That's what he used with Adam and Eve in the garden. He used that thing on them. Jealousy begins with a fleshly heart. when we get our affections and things centered on something other than God, if we're not yielding to the Spirit of God, then flesh takes over and jealousy enters in. It's either God or it's flesh that we serve. And jealousy doesn't ever come by itself. Galatians told us the things that it brought with us. It brings immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envies, drunkenness, and carousing. Think about that. What jealousy can do to you. It can utterly destroy you. Desire is something that God has placed within us. It's a gift that He's given us. But where we place that desire is our choice. It's not up to God. It's up to us where we place our desire. When we look at other people's lives and we want what they have, we're allowing our flesh to take over. We're desiring something that might be out of God's will. Now, God might allow Cheryl to have something that He wouldn't allow me to have. God might allow Crystal to have something that He would not allow me to have. But we need to be careful with our desires and what we do with our desire. You know, jealousy causes many people to turn on someone that they've committed to, even though they admire them. In a marriage, when love first blooms, and you're so in love, still you're a little bit jealous of that person when you first marry that person. You're jealous of them, and you want all of their attention focused on you. But if you're not careful, that jealousy can totally destroy that relationship. Just like it did with David and with Saul. We have an envious nature. We are envious by nature because we are carnal flesh beings. And the Spirit of God within us has to rise up and take control of our desires. We're jealous of other people's possessions or their stuff. Somebody give me a definition of stuff. You might know what stuff is? Junk.
Junk.
Stuff that's going to pass away, right? It's not going to last very long. And does it make us want things that other people have? Let's say you get a new outfit. Now, Lady Cheryl over here, she always comes in and she's always matched up just right. You know, she just always looks so very, very nice. I always love to see Cheryl come in because I know she's going to be dressed to the T. It wouldn't be Cheryl if she didn't do that. But now, if I come in and I say, "Oh, Cheryl, I like that jacket. I'd like to have one just like it." Or, when you get tired of wearing that, can I have it? Have you ever done that to someone? Well, if you get tired of that, just let me have it. Is that a little form of jealousy and envy because they have something that you might want? Are we jealous of other people's positions? Well, if I could just be where she is, if I could only get that same promotion, well, if I'd had the same opportunity that she had to go to college, then I could get a big job. Whine, whine, whine. You know, a lot of times we want things handed to us on a silver spoon. And the Word of God teaches he that doesn't work doesn't eat. And a lot of times we have to get out and work for a lot of things that we have in life. Are we jealous of other people's privileges? I got on to that one a minute ago when I was talking about education. Well, if, you know, I came from the very poorest of family. We didn't have nothing when I was a kid growing up. While we didn't have any shoes to wear, we just barely had enough food, and we didn't get second helpings of anything at our house. And that's not true with my case, but this is some of the stories that you hear, that, you know, we didn't have anything. Well, if I just came from a good family, if I came from the same family, if I came from the family you came from where you had everything, well, I'd be in a lot better position than what I am today. What about talents, other people's talents, jealous of other people? Did you ever be jealous of someone because some lady or some young girl? Now, we're all kind of getting up there, you know. But have you ever been jealous of someone because they were pretty? Because they had natural curly hair? You ever been envious of somebody who was 5'7", 5'8", and you were only 5'4"? You know, I made the statement many times, well, I would like to, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord to make me tall. Now, am I being envious a little bit? I think so. Of his personality. Well, I'm just not an outgoing person. You know, I'm just not outgoing. Have you ever been jealous of somebody? Do you like to be around that kind of a person? Well, I tell you, have you ever been jealous of somebody else's cooking?
I'm not a good cook. I don't like to cook. Boy, I like to go to my mama's house. She can cook. You ever made that statement? We already talked a little bit about the talents and the abilities. You want to be just like him. I am so thankful and so glad that God used such a diversity when he created us. He didn't make any two of us alike. And what in the world are we doing trying to be like somebody else? When they're not even our pattern. Here's our pattern, Jesus, to be like him. When you let this subtle thief of jealousy come in, it can overcome you. Not only does it affect your relationship with the person with whom you're jealous, but it'll destroy your fellowship with others as well. Not only will it destroy, if you get into problems with someone in the church and you become jealous of them, then you begin to find fault with everybody in the church. Pastors, how many people do you know? Well, I know I'm right about this. I know more than the pastor does about this. Or, you know, he's just not teaching the word. I just don't like the way he looks. Why, he's just taking all the money from the church. Is that jealousy? Is that jealousy? And then what happens? Well, I think we're going to find us a new church. Well, you've broken fellowship with all the saints that were in that church. Maybe God placed you there. And you know, I've learned that you learn from adversity. You learn a lot more than you do. And I've also learned that whenever you get angry, you get upset with something going on in a church, you don't leave there. You stay there and you work it through. And you leave whenever you've got the water smoothed back down. You don't leave in anger and frustration. You work through the thing. Be sure that there's nothing between you and the leadership of that particular body. Saul's ending caused him to hate and hunt down David. But look what it did to Saul's relationship with his own son, Jonathan. He hated Jonathan, too, because Jonathan was friend with David. And it was a continuous argument between Jonathan and David about David. Look what it did to Saul's wife, Saul's daughter Michal, whom that he had given to David for his wife. Michal was also destroyed by Saul's schemes against David in 1 Samuel 18. Saul wanted to pin his daughter against his enemy. But she held and maintained her allegiance to her husband, to David, and her love for David. When we give our hearts over to envy and jealousy and rage, bitterness, anger will happen. How many people do you know that have severed relationships with their own families because of jealousy? Jealousy is deceptive, it's destructive. And there is an answer for it, with what we can do with it. The first thing we have to do is to seek God, to see how foolish our jealousy is. We need to recognize it for what it is, that it's a sin of immaturity, that it's sin. We need to make a choice, a desire, that we're going to walk in the Spirit, that we're not going to allow this thing. And then the greatest thing that we can do is to go for deliverance from the spirit of jealousy. It manifests itself in so many forms, and we see it happening in so many different places in throughout the scripture. We see it manifested in so many places. And I think this afternoon what we're going to do, that I'm going to ask you to just to give me the names of some of the things that can cause jealousy. It doesn't have to be in your life, or it could be in your life. And I will guarantee you there's probably someone in this group that this has affected you from time to time. And then we're going to pray deliverance for that jealousy. And so let's begin just to name some things that cause jealousy and things that people are jealous of. Okay, you were loved less. Okay. Then another in the family.
I'm jealous.
Okay.
Why should you be jealous of me?
Okay. How can we word this?
That's
okay.
I think that not necessarily wording that, but what keeps coming to me as you're sharing is that there's a need to break the curse of jealousy that operates that attracts jealousy, whether it's jealousy towards me or me towards someone else, and you know that can begin to open up.
Okay. Right.
All right.
Cheryl.
I think that at least the way that jealousy has affected me is that it always sneaks up on me in other people. I tend to, I'm like, okay, so we're all hanging out. And I'm thinking like, you know, we all got this, we're all on the same page. And so we're moving ahead. And then all of a sudden I start recognizing dark. I start recognizing this or that. I want to say that a lot of times when we don't know who we are, when we don't know who we are in Christ, when we don't know what God has put in us, and we operate from a base of low self-esteem, we don't know who we are, that when you find out that people are jealous of you, it surprises you.
That's why it's so subtle.
It's subtle. But if you know who you are and your and your discernment, and you listen to God, He'll let you know. So it's something tied into not knowing who we are. That we find ourselves constantly around people who end up being jealous of us. Because when you know who you are, you can hear God's voice very clearly about the people around you and their shortcomings. And if you continue just to stay with them, and He's constantly saying that this person is jealous of you, and you don't listen to him, until that person finally gets to a point where they beat you down. If it's a man, he'll beat you down physically. If it's a woman, she'll verbally beat you down. And you're sitting there looking at him. And then when you reflect, people have been telling you for the past 2 or 3 years that this woman is jealous of you. Now, that's my problem. That I probably don't have the man problem, because I'm not, you know, I'm just like, hey, I'm just ahead. But I'm dealing with a lot of women and a lot of business and things like that. And I have found myself thinking that I'm on the same page. I'm looking at this woman, and to me, I'm looking at her, and she's got all the goods to do everything that she's doing in that position. But in her own mind, she doesn't, and she's in competition with me, and I'm not even paying any attention.
Okay. I'm going to just write down competitiveness among coworkers.
Yeah.
I think the word insecurity.
Insecurity?
Insecurity,
yeah.
Competition.
Competitive in workplace. Relationships and family.
We all deal with this in the form of gossip, whether we're the receiving gossip or giving it, either way.
So gossip will bring jealousy, okay? And many times when we're talking about someone else, we may be jealous of them and not realizing, because we're wanting to intentionally do harm to that person, if you think about it. Okay?
Back to that insecurity, physical appearance.
Okay, jealous of physical appearance, all right, of other people.
Yeah, they're skinny.
Did you ever feel like you didn't have good enough clothes to wear someplace? You feel like that, you ever feel, I missed that one. A little louder, please.
They got bigger boobs than
that. Well, now, hey, you can remedy that. You've heard of stocking stuffers, haven't you?
Well, girl, you can buy something at Walmart, I saw.
It's a lot easier to fix that problem than it is to fix the other way. Vanessa, were you going to say something? Okay.
And I think there's a lot to knowing who you are. I think Cheryl was talking about knowing who you are on the side of people being jealous of you. But the reason that they're jealous of you is because they don't know who they are.
Okay.
So they see you as
having it all together.
And they're not, because they don't know what goods they have. So it's a perverse mindset, not perverse like sexual, but perverse in the sense of they don't recognize the goodness of God in their own lives. So because they're so caught up in all the negative of their life, they only see the good in other people's lives and wish something like that would happen to them.
Okay, how are we going
to
word that?
I've started to turn around, like, you know, spiritually. Turn around and say to the person after, you know, the Lord keeps telling me, and then I keep looking and I said, this is God talking to me. And then I'll look at the person and I'll say, do you know who you are?
and they'll look at me like this, and God will give me a word, and then I'll begin to encourage them and to build them up. And that, I think, is the greatest shock to them, that mm-hmm. you would stop and just begin to build them up. You know, without talking about jealousy, without saying, you know, I really feel that last statement you made to me is coming out of thus, thus, and so. I don't even go there. I just start to build them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that God is teaching me how to do that because it's been such a problem for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think He's teaching me how to just turn and confront and begin to try to build it up.
And be an encourager.
And then be an encourager mm-hmm. to Him. And I believe in my heart that if I trust Him and do that when He tells me to do it, that if that person does not change, that I won't have to do anything. They'll just move them.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't hurt me. It won't affect me like it used to, where I'm just all broken up. Because, we tend to give. We love mm-hmm. people, you know, and we give and we bring them on board. And we, you know, we're all about that because it's down in us as women to do that. And then, you know, when they let you down, it's like, good gravy. You know, but I think God is showing me how mm-hmm. to, you know, trust Him more, even in the midst of that jealousy situation,
mm-hmm.
and confront that devil by speaking positive things to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't come around, I believe that I won't have to say or do anything, that mm-hmm. God will move them. And then the next step for me is then to accept the fact that He's moved them, to love mm-hmm. them, and to keep moving on.
I think you could say it is the lack of awareness of a personal work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it also comes back to love. God doesn't love me enough to make me smart. God doesn't love me enough to give me.
Mm-hmm. That's low self-esteem. That's
low self-esteem. It
all comes back to love.
Yeah.
Lack of awareness of what, Laura?
Lack of awareness of personal worth.
Okay. That's
yeah,
going to tie in.
So we're deficient. Anything that we feel like we're deficient.
All right. Areas of deficiency. That will bring jealousy in us, won't it? Yes. All right.
I think that this is right. If I'm not, please, I hope I said anything. I think if a man is not secure in a marriage, what they marry you for is what they put you on a pedestal for. And then after marriage, it becomes a competitive thing on mm-hmm. their part a lot because they want to feel like they have an upper hand as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And they become competitive, and you're not even aware of
yeah.
it. And it happened to me, and my husband was extremely smart, a nuclear power engineer, and I had way less education, but yet he thought because I'd been more places, I'd done more, I was exposed to more life and things, he said, well, you know everything, and I was just like, what? Ooh. And that became a threat and a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to watch it because somebody, even in a two women together as a friendship, they admire something in you and they can get real jealous of you.
Mm-hmm.
Else is,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
I did say, I think that lack of discipline also breeds it because, you know, a lot of times, you know, if somebody, you know, it kind of goes with the poor self-esteem. I think they go
mm-hmm.
together. But it's a lot easier to look at somebody else and say, well, they had this and they had that, than it is to go ahead and pay the price.
Right.
Like, we can look at ministers and we can say, oh, they have such an anointing. But like you were saying, we don't want to fast for, you know, every other day.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to work hard to go to school. You know, we don't want to have to do that, but we want the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that sometimes that it's kind of a laziness or a lack of discipline on our part it's just easier to be jealous of somebody else, you know, and to blame other people. Well, they've got it all, you know, and it's not fair for me, you know, than it is to, you know, to find that within themselves, you know, and it goes, like I said, it's paired with that self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
you know, to say, well, hey, I can do this, but I just have to.
Mm-hmm. Anybody in here have been jealous of somebody in your church? Not now, maybe, but maybe in times past. Okay. Probably all of us has. You know what happens when we get jealous of somebody in the church? We start picking them to pieces. We start pointing out all their faults. And we get with somebody else. You don't keep your jealousy to yourself. I mean, you don't. It spreads. It's like a virus. It spreads rampant.
Mm-hmm. It's like, ooh,
beautiful girl. She's so nice, but.
Yeah.
You know, it's always the but. You know.
And you know, you very seldom hear someone call someone up on the phone and say, "You know what I love about Crystal?"
Mm-hmm.
No, what we hear people say, this is what you hear. Did you hear what Crystal did to me last week?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
It goes back to that spirit of gossip.
Yeah.
And that's because of jealousy. Have you ever been jealous of other brothers and sisters in your family?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cousins maybe?
I was jealous of
okay, jealous of siblings and their friends.
They had friends
with
the
group.
And I worked, and I just kind of. But you know, now I, you know.
So many times we develop a poor.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in here been jealous because that you felt like that your parents didn't have enough when you were growing up? Okay. Okay. Felt like you didn't have lack of material things?
I know she does. She can't help herself.
Were you jealous of others that had things? You know, many times in school we used to, when we'd come Valentine's Day, it was a zoo because all the parents would want to send these balloons, you know, these and candies and stuff to the kids at school. And there would always be one or two very poor children in the classroom that never got anything when it became their birthday or if it was Valentine's Day for them. And, you know, we see that so happening so many times. And, you know, children, it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's not your fault where you are today. But it is your fault if you remain where you are today. It is strictly your fault. God has made a way of escape for every one of us from jealousy, from anything. And I think that jealousy is one of the kingpins of sins because it leads to so many others. And it will cause so many other things to manifest in our lives, the envy, the strife. And you resented that. Mm-hmm. Right. I think all of us can reach back into our childhood and find things. I know I was jealous of the attention that my mother placed on my two brothers. Very jealous of that. And it seemed like that I was a daddy's girl. And I would much rather be out feeding chickens and milking cows as to being in the house dusting furniture and still had. But I think we can all look back in our lives and see areas where that we may have been jealous. We're going to break that curse of jealousy in a few minutes, and then we're going to do some deliverance. And these things start manifesting in you. I'd like for Patty and Laura and Crystal and Cheryl, just help the same ones that helped yesterday, Gail. And don't just get rid of these things. These things we've had buried since childhood, these jealousies and things that we've had buried. Let's get rid of those. I didn't hear you, ma'am. Sure. That's why I was kinda hesitant to call on you, whatever. But just turn the thing loose. You know, the neat thing about it is when you come out of hurtful relationships, there's been some jealousy, whether it was you were jealous or whether the other party was jealous of you. It has affected your life. It has affected you. And, the neat thing about Lake Hamilton is that whenever you come for deliverance, people don't look down on you. They don't hold it against you. There's no shame. Because it may be me, it may be Patty, or it may be Gail that's getting rid of that thing the next time. But you know, the thing about it is we pick up and we go on from there, and there's love in this place. And there's security here. And I don't think there's any jealousy in this place because we're all trying to do the same thing, is to get rid of the demons and things that are the demon spirits that are affecting our lives. But let's get rid of those roots and those things that are there. And, you know, a demon's going to hunt the quickest exit that he can find to get out. He may come out with a yawn. He may come out with a scream. He may come out with tears. He may come out with a barf, or he may come out sometimes even with a barf on the other end. So, you know, a hiccup, whatever. Get rid of the thing. The main thing is to get... A bark? Was that a bark or a barf? But the main thing is to get rid of that thing.
Yeah.
To get rid of it. To cast it out. Yes, ma'am.
In my family, it was like I was the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I never got anything new. I always got the hand-me-downs. And then, like, with piano lessons and things like that. If the other ones didn't succeed in it, I never even got to try.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
And then... I noticed that I had one sister that my daddy really catered to, so that developed jealousy with the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed in my life, with my kids and all, that my daughter, my husband, caters to her and doesn't show me any attention, and that develops jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that.
Okay, that's another one. Jealous of a parent towards a child, or a child. I think that we see that.
He caters towards her and ignores his
It does. Mm-hmm. It does.
Same for me. My area of jealousy is with my cousin, and I have a lot of hurt in that area. You may not tell it now, but I was always in trouble. You know, I'm always one that's behind in my schoolwork and just going into that.
Right. Jealousy of the attention that's been put on others. I think that all of us probably could relate to that. And, you know, the thing about it is, most of the time our parents did the very best that they did under the situation that they were in, under the circumstances. And, you know, let's be careful that we don't fault our parents too much and that we walk in forgiveness toward them, because... Let's face it, I'm not a perfect parent. I've made a lot of mistakes raising my boys and raising my family, and I'm sure you have too. But the thing about this, we don't really realize the long-lasting effects that some of the things we do may have on our children. But it's just when you get down to the root of the thing and you look at it and you see all of this is jealousy. And jealousy always leaves hurts. It always leaves hurts. It may hurt you, it may hurt someone else, but someone will be hurt through the sin of jealousy. And jealousy, you know, a lot of sins affect only you, but jealousy affects other people as well as you, because they are the brunt of your jealousy, or you may be the brunt of their jealousy, and it has an effect on you. How many word curses have been spoken against us? How many word curses have been said against us that we don't even know? Well, I just wish she'd die. You know, she's got more than enough. And have you ever wished that maybe one of your brothers or sisters was dead when you were a kid growing up? I just wish something would happen to them. Yes. Yeah, and I mean, sometimes we say, that just makes me so mad I could just die. What is that? Is that jealousy? Certain situation happens? It's jealousy. It's jealousy. When you get right down to it, I think we can just about run every sin in the book right back to jealousy. Because jealousy between relationships, and we are actually, in one sense, we're jealous of God, because we want to do what we want to do. We have man's free will. And we're jealous of him in lots of areas. God, you made me do something I didn't want to do. God, you came against my will. And your, the prayer says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, my will doesn't always want to line up with yours. And yours doesn't either. I mean, we can be stubborn.
Jealous that God always gets to be right.
Right. But, you know what, in the end, we know that God is going to win out. He's going to be supreme. I think it's time for us to pray. Patty, I would like for you to come up and break the curse of jealousy for us, please. And then we'll start from there.
Jay, you're doing it fine.
He's not jealous of your position.
No, I'm not. God knows. God,
she knows that, too. Is that all you want me to do?
That's all I want you to do.
You're going to be like Jim Landry. If they ask you to take the offering, just take the offering.
There you go.
Father, we just come in behalf of this today. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus who hung on that tree, who became the curse of jealousy for all
yes.
of us. He bore that on his body for each one of us, for us and for our family lines. Today we apply and we appropriate that blood that was shed on the cross, that blood that specifically today we apply and we appropriate it to the curses of jealousy that are upon our family lines.
Yes.
Upwards and downwards.
Yes.
Backwards and forwards. Lord, we remit the sins of jealousy
yes.
that have brought this curse upon us.
Yes.
And we thank you for your blood to cleanse.
Yes.
We forgive our forefathers. We forgive ourselves. And now today, we stand in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And we break the curse of jealousy coming down through the family line. We break it off of us.
Yes.
And we break it off of our offspring.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. We stand
yes.
in the authority of the curse-breaking power of
yes.
the Lord Jesus Christ and declare that the curse of jealousy is broken in Jesus' name.
Yes, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we come to you now and we ask, Lord, that you would bring about the deliverance that you desire, Lord. We submit ourselves, Lord, as being willing, Lord, to let you deliver us from these things, Lord, for these demons to be gone from our lives. We come against the demon that makes us feel that we're loved less than another in the family. We come against that right now in the name of Jesus. We cast it out in Jesus' name. That demon that would come against us would tell us that we're not as good as our brother, we're not as good as our sister, that we're not as good as cousins. We come against that thing right now in the name of Jesus. We ask it to manifest and be cast out in the name of Jesus. We come against that thing in the name of Jesus, that it would be gone in Jesus' name. That demon that caused us to feel that our mothers and fathers loved us less than did someone else in the family. We come against it right now in the name of Jesus. We come against it in Jesus' name. We come against that demon of low self-esteem in the name of Jesus. We cast it out in the name of Jesus and ask that it would leave right now. It has no right. It has no power. It has no authority in our lives. Spirit of low self-esteem, be gone right now in the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. Low self-esteem, leave us in the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. We come against that spirit of not knowing who we are, of that insecurity. We come against that insecure spirit in the name of Jesus, that it would be gone in the name of Jesus. That we are insecure because we don't know what others think of us. We come against that in the name of Jesus. We come against that in the name of Jesus. Those things in us that cause those other people to be jealous of us, we come against those in the name of Jesus, and we ask that they would be gone in the name of Jesus. We come against that in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of competitiveness, Lord, in the workplace, Lord, of others that are jealous of us because of our relationship, of a promotion that we may have gotten that we felt we deserved. We come against that thing in the name of Jesus. We break it off. We break it off right now in the name of Jesus. It has no power. We break its back in the name of Jesus. It has no authority here. We cast it out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. Come out and be gone in the name of Jesus. Spirit of competitiveness in the workplace, come out and be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I didn't get that promotion. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I didn't get the pay that I should have gotten. I'd be gone in the name of Jesus. Come out of there in the name of Jesus and be gone. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. And other relationships with our friends, Lord, the spirit of competitiveness that we feel like we always have to compete with our friends, and we're not as good as they are unless we do the things that they do. Come out of us in the name of Jesus. Come out of us and be gone in Jesus' name. Spirit of competitiveness of others in the relationship, be gone competing with others in the family, be gone in the name of Jesus. Competing with our brothers and sisters that we have to meet someone's approval, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name, you foul spirit. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. We cast you out in Jesus' name. That we're not as good as our brother. That mother loved brother more than he did me. Mother loved dad and loved son more than did me. In the name of Jesus, come out and be gone in Jesus' name. Out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. The spirit of feeling that I was not loved by grandmother as much as my cousins or my brother or my sister was. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Out of there in the name of Jesus. The spirit of gossip. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there, you spirit of gossip. Come out of there. Of talking down against other people. Come out in the name of Jesus. Coming out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out of there. We cast you out in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. The spirit of I'm not as pretty as somebody else was. I'm not as popular as someone else was. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Come out, you spirit. Come out, you foul spirit, in the name of Jesus. The spirit is saying that you're not as pretty as your cousins or your sister, that you're not as attractive as someone else, that you're not popular like someone else, that you don't have as good friends as someone else has. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out and be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. The spirit that I'm too fat, come out in the name of Jesus. The spirit that I'm too skinny, come out in the name of Jesus. I'm not tall enough. I'm too short. I'm this, I'm that, I'm something else. I can't walk straight. I've got this funny lip. I've got this, I've got that. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Physical appearance, those that make us feel insecure, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there, you foul spirits, out of there in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. The spirit of lack of self-worth, that I'm not worth anything, that I can't do anything, that I'm just poor little old me and I'll always be poor little old me. Come out of there, you insecure thing. Come out of there, you spirit of lack. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. You stayed in there a long time. Come out of there. Come out of there. Come out of there. That lack of insecurity, that low self-esteem, out of there in the name of Jesus. Out of there. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Out of there in the name of Jesus. That spirit that's in us that wants to blame other people, that wants to blame other people for the insecurities that we have. That spirit of blame, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there, you foul thing. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there, you foul spirit, in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Come out of there. That spirit wants to blame others, wants to blame mother, wants to blame daddy, wants to blame the pastor, wants to blame the church, wants to blame everybody. Just blame somebody for something that I will refuse to take authority over myself in the name of Jesus. We take authority over that spirit of blame right now in the name of Jesus, and we cast it out in Jesus' name. That spirit that causes us to blame other people, that causes us to lay that blame on someone else, we come against you right now in the name of Jesus. Be gone, be gone, be gone. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. Come out of there, spirit of blame. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. That spirit that comes into the church that causes jealousy among the believers, we cast that thing off of us in the name of Jesus. We cast it off in the name of Jesus. Others' positions in the church, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Others' teachings in the church, we come against those in the name of Jesus. That I can't teach as good as they can. I can't do anything. I can't, I can't, I can't. We come against that I can't spirit in the name of Jesus, because your word says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That I can't spirit. I can't, I can't, I can't. We come against that in the name of Jesus. We come against that I can't spirit in the name of Jesus. Be gone, be gone, be gone in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. That spirit that causes us to wish for other people's material possessions, come out of us in the name of Jesus. It's a spirit of greed. Come out of us in the name of Jesus. But come out of us, a spirit of greed, wanting to have what everyone else has, of keeping up with the Joneses. That if I just had this, I would be as good as someone else. That spirit of uneasiness, of unrest, of desiring what other people has. Come out of us in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.